Thank you. Thank you. I'll have to make an adjustment to Eric's ears here, but I think we can do it. I think it can be done. Good morning. How is everybody? Good, good. Right out of the gates, I want to say that there's a lot of great resources out there on what we're talking about today. And one in particular that I relied heavily on was a sermon from a pastor in Dallas named Matt Chandler. And if any of you would like more information about what we're talking on today, just come and see me after the service, get my attention, and I can put that in your hands. But today we're going to tackle what I believe is just a massive, broad, complex topic. Some of you won't think it's that complex, but my hopes today is that both men and women alike can see and understand God's purpose and His design in the creation of the human race, and more specifically today regarding men. The grower of the beards. Okay? I suppose ladies can grow beards as well, but we won't really talk about that. Ladies, I don't want you to feel left out in any way. You'll get your chance soon enough, but because every woman in some way or some fashion, every woman is affected by men. The first woman was given by God to a man, to her husband, to become his helpmate, to help him do what God had called him to do, to help him achieve what God has called him to achieve. And so the more that we can learn about what God has placed inside of men, the better that we are for it. Ladies, you love your men. Your men are your husbands, your sons, your fathers, your nephews, your grandsons. You're affected by the men in those relationships. Even to some degree, you're affected by the absence of men in those relationships. And we are all affected by men who we don't even know. While the business world finds more and more women in it today more than ever, generations of men have influenced and set the tone of how business is done, of how our society operates, who leads in the church, all of those things. And we're all affected by men because when men submit themselves to the Word of God and honor God in the way that He should be honored, families are led well, children are loved and protected, values are intact, society is more wholesome, business ethics are adhered to, the list could go on and on. And so my hope today is that the Holy Spirit would work in the hearts of both men and women, that men would find a challenge in the Word of God, that they can be challenged by that they can be called into and they can live up to be what God has called them to be. But that the ladies would encourage their men, pray for their men, and give them the grace and the room to grow into that, and let the Holy Spirit ultimately do that work. So can we do that? All right, let's do it. Let's do it in the book of Genesis. In Genesis, God creates the universe and everything in it. Everything in it is good and right. God creates this beautiful rhythm. Everything functions the way it should. Everything works the way it should. And God creates the earth. And in the middle of the earth, He plants this beautiful garden. Okay, not like your little tomato patch or turnip patch, but a beautiful, lush, just marvelous garden. Okay? This is, everything in it is trimmed, everything in it is green, manicured, okay, easily the yard of the month, okay, week in, week out, all right? I told the first service it doesn't need those little yard gnomes, okay, it doesn't need those little stand-up pictures of the woman bending over. I don't know how many of you have seen those. It doesn't need plastic deer in the front yard. I mean, it looks great, okay, perfect. But everywhere else, outside the garden, everything is rugged, wild, untamed. And so in the middle of this garden, God places man and woman. In His image, Scripture says that they are created. We see here that men and women are created equal. They are both created in the image of God, but they are very different. They are very distinct. They have very different roles. And I don't think we really need to spend a lot of time on the differences in men and women. We know that we are just the way that we act, the way that we relate to each other, the way that we think, the way we even see ourselves differently. A woman could be looking at a mirror. She could have a young woman. She could have beautiful hair, have a great figure, and she could find a million things wrong with her. Okay? A guy could be pushing 390. He could be just maxing out a pair of tighty whities that he should have retired 5 years ago. Just these great big Dumbo ears, more hair on his back than on his head. And he can look in that same mirror and say, man, I am so sexy. Gosh, what is it? Ladies, look out. I mean, we think differently. Men are just built differently. And I ran across this picture that I thought explained it very well. You've got the men who basically you've got the on and off switch there. And with the women, I don't know if you start with this one or if you have to prime this first, or I don't know if you have to pull the choke out on the side. I don't know. But the way we act, the way we think, it's in our makeup. This is God's way of saying that I've made these things distinct. They're not the same. They are very different. And so God first places man in the center of the garden. Outside of it, rugged, untamed. And he tells the man, I want you to go and I want you to make the rest of the earth look like this. Okay, so before sin ever enters into the picture, before sin ever comes in and fractures God's design, God has given man a purpose and he's given him a job. All right? Genesis 2:15 says that the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and to keep it. The purpose, the job that God has given to man is to cultivate. We are called to be cultivators. God tells him that it will take a long time and that he's going to need a lot of help. So God gives him a helpmate, gives him a suitable helper in his wife, Eve. And he tells them to be fruitful, multiply. Have babies, subdue the earth, have dominion over it. So what happens here is God has created men to be cultivators. Not necessarily just gardeners, okay, don't hear that, but this cultivating that we've been called into plays itself out in a lot of different ways. God has created us to cultivate, to build, to create, to grow, and to continue to grow and to build and sustain whatever it is that we've created. God's designed us to cultivate, to maintain, and to make things as big and as deep and as wide and as awesome as we possibly can. This is what men are. This is what we do. And you see it in a lot of different places. You see itself work. You see it work out in a lot of different ways. That's why you see some men who still track what they bench press. Okay? Got to get bigger. Got to get stronger. They track how much they can squat. That's why some men spend tons of money on a sport that they just tried one time. Okay? Gotta shave some seconds off that mile. All right? Or they need just that right lure, Terry. They need that right lure that's going to get us the big catch. Okay? They need that shotgun that's going to blast that bird out of the sky. All right? This plays itself out in so many different ways, whether it's with cars, with technology. Marketers, advertisers do this very well. This is why Apple can basically sell the same phone year in, year out. Okay? Just give it a new name. And we are convinced that it's faster, that Siri works better on this model. The layout of this is much better. And once again, Dana, where is he? Dana, if you're looking to upgrade your iPhone, go and see Dana at AT&T. Okay? Cultivate a little business for him. But we do these things because we're cultivators. We are designed for it. We cultivate at work. We set goals. We create these records only so that we can go back and break them. We cultivate in whatever hobbies that we have. It's who we are. So often a man's work is a reflection of himself. His work is who he is. The groundskeeper over here just across in the courthouse, his name is Bill. That green manicured grass is a reflection of who he is, because that is something that he works to cultivate week in and week out. So in addition to building and cultivating things, cultivating at work, we are also designed to cultivate our wives, to nurture them, to love them, and to create in them what Psalm 128 would call a fruitful vine. We're designed to cultivate our wives. We're designed to cultivate our kids, to cultivate them, to love them, to discipline them, to grow them, to encourage them. So you can see easily where this plays itself out on a lot of different levels. We're called and designed to grow and to build and to make things bigger and better. And even some cases smaller, when you think about the size of computers 20 years ago and how they would take up entire rooms, and now you can make computers the size of my pinky nail. God is the ultimate creator. He is the sustainer of all things. He sustains us. He maintains us. He grows us. He cultivates us. And in the same way, being made in his image, we are wired in a very similar way. We too are wired to be those creators, those cultivators. So with that in mind, moving with everything that we've just talked about, how we're wired, what happens when that begins to break down? What happens when that begins to fall apart? What happens to a man whose business begins to taper off? What happens to the man who works, just spends time and energy and pours hours and hours into a project that he realizes he's going to have to just redo the entire thing? Isn't he just a shell of himself? Isn't he distressed? Sure he is. Sure he is, because we were meant to build. We were meant to create and to cultivate. And that's just something that's in us. It's something that we can't shake. We can't deny it. And nor should we. We were meant to do these things. We were meant to do something. We were meant to always be doing something. What happens when a man finds himself not doing anything? What happens when a man gets bored? It's been said that a bored man is a dangerous man. When we think of a bored man, we might think of someone who's undisciplined, who's unmotivated, a little bit lazy. But those guys can get into trouble because they were never created to be that way. That's why they have, typically with a lazy, undisciplined man, you'll find a big fantasy life. They like to daydream a lot. They'll watch Gladiator and have just daydreams about fighting alongside the Spaniard in the arena. Okay, they'll dive down deep into the video game world and develop clans and communities of their own. They'll daydream about how their life would be so different if their coach hadn't benched them. If the coach would have left them in the game, they'd have gone to state, no doubt about it. All right, and even the lazy man, okay, even this guy has this desire in him to conquer, has this desire in him to have dominion over something, because this is the way that we have been wired. And those are just some examples, but every man has something inside of him that makes him want to be part of something bigger. Okay, and there's different things that really draw that out. I think epic movies do a great way of drawing that out in men, that it makes us want to be part of something bigger. Sports, following sports allows us to do that more. We ride high on the success of our team. Okay, we ride high on the success. When MU's doing well, man, we are on the bandwagon. We are living in their glory, and when they're doing poorly, we find something else. Okay, we do what we do now. But this is men. This is who we are. This is what we do, and we shouldn't necessarily apologize for it. But where this begins to fall apart is that when men have not submitted themselves to honoring God and knowing Christ, men remain cultivators, but they cultivate bad things. The desire to cultivate turns to trivial or even sinful things. What's even more difficult is even when you're trying to cultivate good things, the right things, it can be unbelievably difficult. Unbelievably difficult. So, going back to Genesis, let's look at Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis 3, we see this beautiful world, wonderfully made by God, functions the way that God has designed it to function. We see that fractured whenever sin enters into the picture. Okay, Adam and Eve disobeyed the commands of God. The serpent has deceived them. And so God is going down the line, and he begins to lay curses on the serpent. Talks to the serpent, curses the serpent. Begins to talk to the woman, curses her. And then he turns to curse the man, but he does it in a very interesting way. And if you look in Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 17. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. So it's very interesting to see that when God curses man, he not only curses man, but he curses the very thing he has called that man to cultivate. He curses the very purpose that he has given to man. So even when man tries to cultivate what is right and what is good, it can war against him. Even when he is pursuing something positive, when he's pursuing something good, it will not always produce the fruit that he wants, but instead thorns and thistles. You try so hard to do things the right way. You try to play it right. You try to be as honest as you can, and you work as hard as you can, but sometimes the money isn't always there to pay the bills. You save up just enough to buy those hardwood floors, and then boom, brakes go out in your car. You save just enough to finally get that new microwave to cover up that hole over your stove. I mean, that hole's been sitting there. You've got a pair of rolled-up jeans crammed in the vent so that the bugs don't get in. And just when you've got enough for that microwave, AC unit goes out in the house in July. And you've got people coming over tomorrow. Okay? Thorns and thistles. Or at work. Things at work don't go as well as you would plan. Your sales are down. Your proposal gets denied. Maybe you have to push back retirement another 5, 10 years. Doesn't always produce the fruit that we want, but instead, thorns and thistles. Or when you try to cultivate your wife the way and love her the way that Christ loved the church. Men, do you know that we're called to do that? I mean, where do you start? I know that we joke about this, but when you've been called to do something so monumental, where do you start? How do you do this? What if she doesn't want to be loved like Christ loved the church? What if she doesn't want your leadership? What do you do? God has charged us all the same, regardless of their response, because when Christ laid down his life for our sins, he was fully aware of our indifference. He was fully aware that so many people could care less, okay, about who Jesus is, about what he's done, but he did it anyways. He gave himself anyways. And because of that, because he gave himself to the church, to us, men are called to initiate in the exact same way. And that is not always easy. That can be extremely difficult. Cultivating and loving your wife can be very difficult. What about your kids? Have you ever tried to steer your kids in a certain direction to lead them, encourage them, give them wise counsel? They're always so appreciative, aren't they? That always reaps good fruit. Never thorns and thistles, never sweat on your face. And then they always thank you for the advice that you gave them. They are so great. Thank you for the correction, Father. I now see the error of my ways. It will never happen again. Yeah. And all you're trying to do, what are you trying to do? You're trying to cultivate. You're trying to love them. You're trying to raise them up in a certain way to keep them safe, to keep them protected. Zoe thinks that I am an enemy to her fun whenever I demand that she hold my hand when we cross the street. She thinks that I am an enemy to her joy because I snatch her just before she runs out into the road. And she even takes swings at me. I mean, I have to hold her a certain way so she doesn't get the full rotation. I don't know if she's been watching her mom too much or what, but I know that teenagers, there's so many difficulties that come with that later. I don't have any, but I was one. What you try to cultivate, it doesn't always produce what you want or what you think, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating. It's thorns. It's thistles. And sometimes, some days, all you'll have to show for it is sweat on your face. That's all you'll have to show for it. And so now that I've sort of just dumped all of that on you, the big question is, why would God do it this way? Why would he write it this way? Can't he just punch an easy button somewhere and just sort of make this a little easier, make some of this go away? And as I think more on this, I think about nothing has taught me more about being a man, and nothing has taught me more about the gospel than when things are hard. Nothing has depleted any ounce of pride in me and has created a humble heart towards God than when life is difficult. Whenever thorns and thistles abound. Nothing's taught me more about God's mercy, about his grace, and about his love than when things are difficult. So men, God, he's saying to us, he says, I want you to nurture, I want you to cultivate, I want you to love, but it won't always be easy. So what do we do? What do we do when the task seems so impossible? Where do you start? Paul writes to the Corinthians and he closes his letter encouraging some of the members there. And I think this says it well. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, he writes, he says, be watchful, stand in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Practically, this is how it can be done. This is how we can begin to cultivate in the grace of Jesus. This is how we can begin to push through some of those thorns and thistles that the grace-driven effort that we give it allows us to begin to see some of that fruit, some of the good things, some of the right things. And even though that can feel just exhausting, sometimes that can feel just so overwhelming, it is his mercy that is available to us every day. And practically, we won't be able to really get into this much today. We have a men's group that's starting up on Tuesday nights. It's 3 weeks, and we're actually going to get into the nuts and bolts of this passage and talk about this on a deeper level Tuesday night at 6:30 for those guys who want to attend that. But big picture, we live and we walk in the system where God has called us to cultivate, but what we're meant to cultivate sometimes wars against us. Where do we find strength? Where do we find hope? Where do we find the energy? Where do we find the wisdom to do this? The man who knows and loves God knows that Christ has purchased for us grace. He has purchased for us new grace and new mercies every single day. The book of Lamentations chapter 3 says that it tells us that God's grace is new every day and that his mercies are new each morning. And the best, here's what that looks like. Last year, I volunteered a couple days for VBS, and I had the privilege of chauffeuring the fourth and fifth graders, to which in that class was one Stephen Dirks. I don't know where Stephen is, but downstairs, one Stephen Dirks. And after monitoring / supervising his energy for the morning, I and Laura Steenbergen, you can attest to this, I went to his mother and I said, I want what Stephen Dirks had for breakfast, to which you said, Captain Crunch. Captain Crunch. God has a big bowl of Captain Crunch for you every single morning. That means that all that you need today is available to you today in Christ. Men, all the energy, all the wisdom, all the ideas that you need to cultivate your family, cultivate at work, okay, cultivate a connection with the Lord, all of those mercies are available to you today. When Jesus paid it all for our sins, he lifted off of us this curse, that we are now allowed to know God and to experience his forgiveness, to experience his mercy, to walk in a newness of life, to walk in this grace that empowers us, even when it's difficult to cultivate, even when it's difficult to speak life into your kids, when it's difficult to love your wife the way that Christ loved the church, even when it's difficult to cultivate good things in your life, God gives you the grace and the energy to do that. And one day, when all that has been called, all that we've been called to cultivate, one day that will no longer war against us. But until then, men, suit up, be watchful. Okay, stand in the faith, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. We have, depending on when you go to bed, about 11, 12 hours left in our day, and Christ has given you all that you need to do and to be what he has called you to do and to be. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that your grace is new every day. We thank you that it's new, not just every day, but every morning. Lord, that it is there, it is available to us before we even get out of bed. What joy that is. How good that is to know. There's no better way to start out our day knowing that your grace is available to us. God, I pray for our men this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit, that you break through to the hearts of our men, Lord, and that you would help them be what they've called to be, that you can knock away some of the things that keeps them into boyhood, and that you'd bring them into the fullness of being a man after your own heart. I pray for our women. I pray that they be spiritual forces in the home, that they can give grace and they can speak words of life and words of encouragement to their man. Not just their men, but the men in their lives. And Lord, we all have experienced these thorns and these thistles. And Lord, our victory is found in Christ alone. Our victory is found in you. And we give praise to that. We give praise that Christ has paid it all. And so, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. And so we lay these things at your feet, Father, and we say this in Jesus' name. Amen.